Today we're gonna come full circle and start with the situation in Iran, and from there we're gonna turn to the David Hashem Oruvishi, and then come to Tshuva, and then maybe come back to Iran. But so the topic of the shiur is what I call Da'agaminayin, or in the words of the famous personality Alfred E. Newman, what be worry is. The question we're going to ask today, hopefully we'll have also some help. We're going to have help from Ein Yaakov, Ibn Habib, and also help from the Orchot Tzadikim. Is worrying a good thing? Anybody who's known made Aliyah probably is no stranger to worrying about things. No? Nothing? Okay. Good. We're going to talk about that today. Okay, so obviously, as always, we start from the Gemara. So we're going to start from the Gemara in Brachot Perek. We're on Dalet now. Okay. Daftalan, one of my page. The David Shamra Nafshi Chi Chasida. And it's a quote from Tehillim Pei Vav. David, oh, Shkoach. Although you won't be insulted, I'm actually trying. I'm hopefully going to run right after. So, Shamra Nafshi, save my soul. Ki Chasid Ani, for I'm a Chasid. Rablevi v'Rab Yitzchak. Rablevi and Rabbi that I'm a Chokid. What in the world is David saying? Chad Amar. Kach Amar David b'fnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So says David before God. Ribono shel Olam, lo chasid ani. Am I not a chasid? Shekol, meaning am I not great? Am I not a chasid? And am I not righteous? Why? Shekol malchei mizrach umarav yishenim ad shalosh shaot. Because everybody else, all the other kings, they like to sleep. They sleep until 3 hours in the day. Va'ani. And what do I do? This is where we started, because the last thing we learned, remember, that David got up in the middle of the night. So he said, this midrash is playing on that and saying, oh, David said to Hashem, see, I stay up to the middle of the night. Aren't I a great person? Okay? The idach, and the other opinion. So one is Rav Levi, and one is Rav Yitzchak. The idach that it says, "Kach Amar David Difnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." No, he never said something else. Ribono Shel Olam, lo chasid ani. Am I not a chasid? Why? Shekol Malchei Mizrach Umari Ma'arav Yoshvim Agudot Bichvodam. Because everybody else is standing upon ceremony, and they're worried about their own honor. Va'ani Yadai Meluch Lachot Bidam. Ubeshapir, ubeshidya, g'day v'taher isha, on page 2, g'day l'shaher v'taher isha l'ba'ala. All the other kings, what do the kings do? They're very dainty people. You know, they're worried about their own honor, about their own kavod. And what do? I don't mind getting my hands dirty. What do I get my hands dirty with? Blood. Which blood? Dam. One second, what do we say? Dam, dam, nida. Shvir, ubeshilya, one is a placenta. One is a miscarriage of some kind, okay? To determine, because the women would bring their, can you imagine, the women would bring their shaylot, in Hilchot Nida, to David HaMelech, and he says, he gets his hands dirty, you know, examining each and everything to make sure because some afterbirth is Tameh, and some is not Tameh, you know, depending on the day, the shaylos. So first of all, I don't know if you ever thought of David HaMelech as a posek in Hilchot Nida, someone who goes deep into Hilchot Nida. So that's an idea, a beautiful imagery in and of itself. But nonetheless, David says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, either he says, I'm righteous because I stay up in the middle of the night, I get up in the middle of the night to go learn, to go sing to you. What? I guess all the women, I don't know. Somebody came. Stop fixing the kitchen. You have a question? Come over here. Yeah. So that's his point. He says, "I'm a chassid. Am I not God? Am I not a chassid? That you gotta have better things to do? No, I don't have better things to do. I get my hands dirty. That's what he says. Okay.
There's a lot of women.
V'la'od. What?
There's a lot of women.
I don't understand.
No, shyness. No. He's a king.
So?
He's got other
If you had to ask somebody, wouldn't you ask again?
Well.
That's what I'm saying. It's a sign.
Is the king would be
is it not a sign of righteousness? Is it? Ah, oh, very good. V'lo'od. Moreover, Ela shebechol ma she'ani oseh, ani nimlach b'mifiboshet rabbi. I asked my Rebbe. Yeah. Right, you mean he says he's the king? You would think that the king would know the answers to everything. He says, no, I asked my Rebbe. If Omer lo. And I say to him, if you boasted Rabbi, yafedanti. Did I judge properly? Yafechi yafti, yafezikiti. Was I mechaya properly? Was I mezaka properly? Yafeti harti, yafeti meiti, velo boshti. Meaning, I as the king, it could be embarrassing, because if you ask a question, you theoretically are hoping to get an answer. And he says, I was not embarrassed. I went to my Rebbe and I said, no, Rebbe, did I do it right? Sometimes he said yes. Sometimes he said no. Okay. Amar Rav Yehoshua Breidu Rav Idi Maikra. What is this? What do we see a pasuk for this? Va'adabra be'edotecha neged malachim v'lo avosh. And I spoke in your testimony, edut, against the kings. I'm on page, what am I, three now? Against the kings, v'lo avosh, and I'm not embarrassed. Tana.
They can't. They could go to the avosh.
What, you mean, why are they going to him instead of going to his Rebbe?
Yeah.
No idea. Good question. Okay. Tana. Lo mifi boshet shemo. Ella ish boshet shemo. His name was not mifi boshet, rather ish boshet. Who is ish boshet, by the way? Ishbosheth was the son of?
Shmuel.
Cool.
No, of Yonatan.
Yonatan. This is something simple that we should know.
Sure.
Okay. V'lama nikra shmo mifi boshet, mipi boshet, shaya mevayesh pnei David b'halacha. He would embarrass David in halacha. Meaning, he didn't hold back. When David said something good, he said good. When David said something bad, sorry king, you missed this one. Lefikach, I'm on page, the last page, Chafala. Lefikach, Zacha David v'yatza mimenu Kil'av. David married and had a son named Kil'av. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo Kil'av Shemo. Ela Daniel Shemo. Right? He had a son named Daniel. V'lam nikwa Shemo Kil'av. Why do they call him Kil'av? That was his nickname. Shaya machlim p'nei mefiboshet v'halacha. He embarrassed mefiboshet, meaning he was so good that he put a mefiboshet, David's Rebbe, to shame. Look at the bottom of page 28. See the bottom? I'm at the bottom of that page. So I just copied the rest of the piece. Va'ala amar Shlomo b'chachmato. And this is what Shlomo said. B'ni, im chacham libecha, yismach libi gam ani. If your son is smarter than you, you should be happy about that. Just, I think, a nice piece of advice. V'omer, and it says, chacham b'ni v'smach libi v'ashiva chorpi davar. Okay. So we have this Gemara that says that David said to Hashem, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am I not a tzaddik? Okay? Very nice. It says the Gemara, with David, Heichi lenafshe karin lenafshe chassid. How in the world did David call himself a chassid? Why? I'm at the bottom of page 28. Because it says, V'hakati, see if you recognize this. Lulei he'amanti li'ot v'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Where's that from? Levit HaSavari. In the end, he says, Lulei he'amanti li'ot v'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim, kavei al Hashem, chazak v'yamisimecha. What does that mean? Lulei ha'emanti lirot v'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. What does that mean? We almost say it every day, twice a day.
Lulei
ha'emanti. Lulei ha'emanti. Would that I believed, right? Lirot, to see the goodness of God in the land of life. Meaning what? Why doesn't he think he's going to see God in the land of life? What does it mean? Meaning, Be'eretz Chaim, what does Eretz Chaim mean? In the land of the living. Will I see God in the land of the living? Why wouldn't David see God in the land of the living? No, why would David never fear that he wouldn't see God in the land of the living?
It's not worthy.
What?
Yeah,
it's not worthy. Meaning, the Gemara says, hey, David said, page 1. Shamra nafshiki chassid ani. I'm a chassid. Am I not a chassid God? Am I not the greatest? Comes on the Gemara and says, in a second, but David said, Lulehem anti the ruva tuva shem be'eretz chayim. So how could the same guy who thinks he's so great all of a sudden turn around and say, I don't even know if I'm going to see God when I die? So the Gemara says, Vitana, Lulehem anti the ruva shem be'eretz chayim, Vitana mishmeid the Rabbi Yossi, Lama nakud al lulei. There's a nikud. There's a little dot. There are dots over the word lulei ha'emanti. I don't know if you write. I guess you write it on a cloth, maybe. I've never actually seen written out. Okay. So Amar David Yisnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu said that before God, Ribono Shel Olam, God, Muftach ani becha she'ata meshalem schar tov letzadikim la'atid lavo. I know you pay tzadikim, you pay them back. Aval eini yodea im yeshli chelek b'nehem im lav. Because I don't know if I'm going to have a portion from them or not. So we see that David himself was concerned whether he would have a chelek l'olam haba. Let's just throw in there, if David doesn't know if he has a chelek l'olam haba, we're in for some big trouble. Okay? So the Gemara says, so how could it be that David called himself a chassid? Is he a chassid? Or is he doesn't even know he's going to get chelek l'olam haba? Says the Gemara. What's the answer to the Gemara? Very famous Gemara answer. Shema yigrom hachet. He knew he was a chassid. But he was afraid. Or, in our vernacular, he was worried. Maybe he'll lose it all because he sins. I'll give another example. There's another example of this exact phenomenon. Kid Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. The Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi Rami. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi says, he asks, K'tiv, it says, this is about Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu finally realizes he has his dream, right? And he sees the ladder, and he knows, oh, this is the place of God. So God says, I will be with you wherever you go. Uchtiv, but then it says later on, when Yaakov found out that Esav is coming to meet him with 400 men, Yaakov, Ayira Yaakov, Maod, he's very afraid. So how can he be very afraid? God explicitly promised to Yaakov, I'm with you. So what are you afraid of? You got God with you. So Gemara says, similarly, Amar Shema Yigrom Hachet. Because he was afraid. Shene Amar, because Gemara says, Kiditani, we'll just finish up the piece. Learn to write to Adya Avoram Chashem, Adya Avoram Zukanita, Adya Avoram Chashem Zubi Arishona. This is the first redemption. Adya Avoram Zukanita, Zubi Arishonia. This is the second redemption. Mikan Amru Chachamim. So the Chachamim said, Reuyim Hayu Yisrael La'asot Behem Neis Vime Ezra. They should have entered into the land of Canaan in a miraculous way, the same way they entered into the land of Canaan in the times of Yehoshua. The walls of Jericho fell, etc., etc. Ella, rather, shegara machet. But they sinned, so they were not able to. So we see from this Gemara, very interesting thing. On the one hand, David knew he was... So the first answer is David a righteous person? Or was he concerned that he never would, that he wouldn't even make it to Olam Haba? The answer is, yes. He was a righteous person, and he was concerned he would make it to Olam Haba. By the way, those are extremes. Because, you know, to call yourself a chassid, I'm a chassid, I'm righteous, I look at me, God. But on the other hand, unless at the same time, to be afraid he won't even make it to Olam Haba, don't we kind of count on that?
The bar is high.
What?
It's a high bar.
So that's one thing. So meaning, so I would say the Gemara's answer actually is very highly intuitive. And I think it reflects, you see, the way the Gemara answers, he was afraid maybe, Shema Yigrom HaChet, meaning what? I'm a chassid now, but who knows what's going to be in the future. Okay? But I think that you could read it another way as well. And I think that this reflects all of our personalities. I think all of us, or I hope all of us, when we come to our view, our own religious persona, is that a word? Personas. We also experience this kind of schizophrenia, because in some ways, you say, "Hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu," like not on the level of David in the way, in some way, but Machasid. First of all, I go to Shir on Sunday night. Second of all, you know, I moved to Israel. I uprooted my whole family. You know, I'm pretty good. I don't know. You know, yeah. There is that. So, what?
I'm done.
I'm done. And it's a legitimate feeling. I think we should be proud of the things that we've accomplished, especially if it comes with a struggle. Which it almost always does, if it's something real. You know, I learn Daf Yomi every day, and it's no picnic. You know? It's a challenge. It's hard. And if you do it every day, I think a person has, on the one hand, a right to come and say, before I go to Shabbat, no, I'm okay. Am I not doing something? At the same time, we, in our personalities, experience at the very same time, Lulei hamanti le'ol petuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. I don't know, no guarantees. Is that going to do it? Meaning, there's a lot that goes into it. We're going to see in Orchot Tzadikim. Let's say, yeah, you're a pretty good guy. Okay, how do you know? You know, you're also living a pretty good life. Maybe you're using it all up here. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So there's that, on the one hand, this dichotomy, this duality, which is, I think, a natural duality, of confidence and doubt, which I think are extremely healthy in all areas of life, in your business, right? Hey, I'm doing good. We're working. It's going. At the same time, right? Oh my God, what's going to be? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And you need, on the one hand, in order to grow, you need to find that proper balance between confidence and doubt. Between, on the one hand, I'm doing the right thing, I'm going in the right direction. But if you're overconfident, if you're totally confident, then what does that cause you to do? Stop. You just stop. Why do we need to keep going? On the other hand, if you're all doubt, if you're all anxiety, if you're all negativity, if you're all worry, you're never going to do anything. So it's true in life, and it's especially true in a religious persona, and it's especially true in tshuva. You know, sometimes I think we overemphasize the worry. Oh, I'm never going to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing. I saw Bobby. You know, so he tried to cajole me into coming to his slichas. His Shlomo Karbach slichas. I said, Bobby, you know, I got to go to work the next morning. You know, I said, there's another thing, but that I'm not mishtalem with a Karbach slichot. Kabbalat Shabbat, I'm all there. Like, I love it. It's great. It's terrific. If you got the time, it's wonderful. But because the whole Karbach experience exudes simcha. It's a joy. It's Kabbalat Shabbat. It's wonderful. It's terrific. But to take that joy, like if you ever read Slichot, what's the essence of Slichot? If you had to boil down Slichot into like a sentence, what do we say when we say Slichot? What? Yes. God, I stink. Please don't kill me. You know, basically. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that there's no place for joy in Rosh Hashanah. There is. But I don't see joy in slichos.
But the point of slichos is part of the tshuva process.
Uh-huh.
To allow you to be saved by a Kodesh Baruch
Hu. Great.
And therefore, the joy in the fact that we have that process and we have that opening, that Hashem from El all the way to...
Again, I'm not saying there shouldn't be joy in the process. There is simcha in Yamim Noraim. There's simcha in Malchut. But there's simcha in you'll never believe what I did wrong all year long. Does that make any sense? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So
you know that it doesn't fit because wait, wait a second. But let me finish my thought. The danger is, and I think I was raised this way. The danger is an overemphasis on negativity can be crushing.
That's Detroit.
That's what?
Detroit.
The
Pistons.
What are we referring to? The Lions are doing well now.
Back in the day.
Back where in my day?
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Overemphasis on negativity can be crushing? What are you referring to? Anyway. Okay. But it can be. Because as long as you keep saying, I think people suffer from this. It's very dangerous. You know, it's just so you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this week, that in the Musar movement, there were two schools of Musar. One was Slabodka and one was Navarduk.
Yeah.
Right. Okay? One, I don't remember which one, I probably should know which one. One focused on the negative. That you carried stones in your pockets, you carried dirt in your pockets to remember Va'anochi Afar Ve'efer. That sounds right. And the Slabodka was totally the opposite. Slabodka was, you are a son of God. And you better act that way, and you better think about yourself that way, and you better dress that way, and better purport yourself in that way. And many, many of the students of Slabodka were great leaders. Great, great leaders. Especially in America later on, the ones that came out of there, those were many of the ones that built up American Jewry. You know what I'm saying? So, there is both, I just think the Midrash, on the one hand, it reflects these two natural, tendencies that we have. On the one hand, Lo Chasidoni, on the other hand, but lulei hamanti leirut petuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. You know, and if you look actually in the David, I wrote a piece about this once, you can see both of those things. On the one hand, you have a. Can you give me a sitter for a second? Right behind you. Right there. Even in the David Hashem Rabbi V'Yishi, you see this kind of dichotomy. Okay.
I want to dwell in Hashem.
It says,
but I also want to be a visitor.
The David Hashem Rabbi V'Yishi, Mimi Ira Hashem Os Chayai, Mimi Efchad. If God is with me, who do I have? Mikov Alayim Reim Chova B'Sari Tzarai Be'Avayli Hema Kashlu V'Nafalu. You know what I'm saying? They come and attack me, they're going to fall. Im Tachane Alayim Machane Lo Yira Libi. God is with me. What does that mean? Am I not a chassid?
That's not possible.
Do I not? What? That's terrific. And then, but right in the middle. Okay? One second. Okay. It says, why? V'ataya rum roshi alav isavi votai. My head will be above my enemies. As b'cha'a ba'ahalo zivchei teruah. I will offer offerings of teruah. Ashira v'azamra l'Hashem. Great. Now, listen to the switch. Shema Hashem koli akra. God, hear my call. V'chaneni v'aneni. Have compassion on me and answer me. L'cha amar libi bakshu panai et panecha Hashem avakesh. My face is seeking you out. I seek out your face. Al taster panecha mimeni. Don't hide your face from me. Al tat be'af avdecha ezrati hayita. Al ticheni. Don't ticheni. Reject me. Forsake me. Al ta'azveni el hayishi. One second. 5 sentences ago, God is with me. My enemies come, boom! I'll take care of them. Why? God is with me. And then right now, what do I say? Please, God, don't abandon me. Why? Listen how sad this is. Ki avi v'imi azavuni. My mother and my father abandoned me. V'Hashem ya'asveni. And God will gather me in. Meaning, in the David Hashem Ori, I believe, actually, that this is the dichotomy. Sometimes we feel that I am lo chassid ani, am I not a chassid? And other times, what do we feel? We feel I'm nothing. Okay, and we feel lulei hamanti b'derab b'tu v'Hashem b'eretz chayim.
I find this very depressing.
Very depressing? Mm-hmm. Why?
I get it. When you say...
No, it ends off saying, kaveh al Hashem, chazak v'yameitzi lecha, v'kaveh al Hashem. Which kaveh al Hashem is going to be? Which one? The kaveh al Hashem of the Hashem that's with me, and that's always with me, and that I deserve it, and that God belongs with me, or the kaveh al Hashem that I don't deserve it, and that God gathers me in, and God has compassion on me. Which one is it?
What's vision?
Both.
Yeah,
it's both. Vision. It's both. Oh. Why is that depressing? That's so.
Mm-hmm. So I get it when we think it, but when he thinks it. At his madrega, at what he achieved in his life.
Don't you get it?
No, I know. Yes, you have to be. Each person is on their own.
Absolutely.
Well, come on.
One second. His tzidkut was so great.
I agree with that. But he was so great that he couldn't realize that. You know, we talk about the scales.
The higher you go, the more.
His scales were like these.
I don't agree with you. The higher you go, the more.
Then we shouldn't go high.
One second.
That would be right.
I keep my
bar. Can I ask you a question? Look at this beautiful thing that the guy built, right? Okay? So we look at it and we say, gorgeous. Okay? When the guy who built it comes in, he looks at it, what does he see? What's that? That's right. He's not going to tell you. But he right away, he sees the flaws. Why? Because he measures himself on a different plane than you measure. So for you, it's terrific. And it's wonderful. But for him, that's his miksoa. So the same thing for David HaMelech. Right? On his level, yes, he achieved great things. He built beautiful things. But on the other hand, because he's sensitive and he's aware, that's the level of Gadlut. Each person on its own level. I don't know why that's so depressing. That's our job. Our job is to jump up a step.
Also, I think the beginning of the relationship or the beginning of understanding is this mindset that everything is from Hashem and everything is perfect and He's there for us all the time. That's how you begin a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can go back and say, you know, things have happened to us over the years, have happened to us over the time. And so, yeah, we've sinned, we've done all these things wrong. And so we have to admit that as well. But if we start with that, then maybe you're almost discounting the fact that you don't, almost like you don't believe Hashem is always there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you almost have to start with this idea that
the good.
Yeah, I know you're always there for me. We have that relationship.
Nice.
You're there for me. And then, you know, later on down the line, it's It's, you know, I understand that, and this is the reality of it.
I would just add that he starts in the Midrash the same way. First Chassid, and then it says Zuleha Manti. We see that all the time, and I'll point that out. And I think that, I think that sometimes in our own personalities, especially, where we do the opposite. We focus first on the negative. Like, okay, Elo's coming, you gotta get ready. You gotta get ready. So how do you get ready? You sit down and make a list of all the things I didn't do right.
We'll do 1 month.
What's that?
We'll do 1 month.
Or you do, you're, wait.
or you
spend a whole month telling God what you didn't do right.
Or you do 11 months of feeling good and not doing tshuvas and not worrying about what you're doing. Mm. And then finally, 1 month.
The point is, in your spiritual evaluation, there's tremendous benefit to seeing the positive. I'm done with my point. Says the Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov has a very interesting question. Let's go back to the sheet. What in the world is David doing? Alo chasid ani? Is it not unusual for the king of Israel to start bragging to God about how great he is? Why would David HaMelech need to emphasize about himself this aspect? Okay, so we're going to skip to, so look on where it says Yud Tet, on page Yud Tet, on your, when you, if you're keeping score at home, that's page 26. Yeah, a lot of pages. Here's 26. Okay. Ulufizot, he says, David HaMelech, he establishes first and foremost that David wrote this after the events of Uriah HaChiti. What happened with Uriah, the whole Maaseh, the sin of Bathsheba, right? We know that David HaMelech was overcome by his inclination. He saw this woman, and he engineered the death of her husband in order to legalize his actions. Okay, and it doesn't whitewash it, everybody knows what happened, etc., etc. So he wrote, after this, so the Midrash suggests that David wrote, Lo Chasid Ani, after the story, after the events of Uriah Chiti, after he did what he did, and his rebuke. Ulefi Zot, see, now I'm on page 26, on the right-hand column, it's two lines from the bottom.
Oh, you're reading it as a question or as a statement?
Am I not a chassid? No, you'll see. Ulefi zot hanacha ha'amitit. Okay. And according to this assumption, hukshal l'chazal, Chazal wondered, ech yikra chassid lifnei Hashem yitbarach, o shtei nevalot gedolot, k'maseh bat sheva v'harigat Uriah. How in the world could David call himself a chassid after this event, after what he just did? After the terrible things he did. And to answer this question, Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak answered. They rose up to the challenge. And they're both, even though they're arguing about the details of what David said he did, nonetheless, they both have the same idea. V'hu. Ki ha'oseh po'el meguna echad bepeta pito'om. Let's say you have a person who does suddenly a terrible thing. One really horrible act. Suddenly. V'al kol zeh, but nonetheless, holech b'tom, he nonetheless follows in his proper path, b'derech yashar b'tmidut, and he always follows the straight path, ma'aseh kolel l'mushubech b'tachlit ha'shevach. And he normally does that which is worthwhile of praise. Danu al chatato. So he says it's worthwhile to judge him for his sin, asher chata. Keshikor avro yayin l'sha'ato. Like a drunk who was intoxicated momentarily. V'yihyeh nidon achrei rubo kechasid. And he should be judged based on the majority of his behavior as someone who is righteous. After he's mitcharet, he regrets his sudden sin, and he does appropriate tshuva. And he also is punished, the proper punishment. Nonetheless, it's worthwhile. He is worth he is destined that his soul should live forever. So in essence, says the Eini Yaakov, what's David saying to Hashem? David saying to Hashem, God, okay, I messed up big time. I did a terrible thing. But should that terrible thing cancel out all of the righteousness and the normal righteousness that I live in my daily life? And the answer is, no, it should not. That's what he says. He says, lo chasid ani, meaning yes, I did a terrible thing. Yes, I did tshuva. Yes, I should pay for it. But the terrible thing can't negate the behavior that I do day in and day out. It's an incredibly powerful message when it comes to tshuva. Because it's very natural for people who succumb to begin to judge themselves and to evaluate themselves based on their worst failure as opposed to their inherent normal nature. Comes along David, it says, Lo chasid ani, am I not a chasid? Did I fall? Yes, I fell. I made a terrible mistake. And I did tshuva and I'm going to pay for it. But that's not who I am. That's not what I am. What I am is the normal behavior, the things that I do day in and day out. A beautiful idea, very powerful idea. He says, what are these two things? He just explains. And because they agree about this idea, hakdama kolelet, hem chalukim b'tzad ma echad mehem choshev shera'u le'ish tam v'yashar yelo shleimut kolel tamid. Meaning, what's the best thing that? So what's the most powerful description that will make a person a righteous person? So they agree about this principle. They agree that one fall or that an out of character behavior, misstep, doesn't redefine a person. They're only arguing. So what are they arguing about? Well, what made David a chassid? One is, Hu shavchu b'tokfato gvurato yim'as ahavat ha'erev la'ahavato yibarach. He says, what did David HaMelech do? He rejected the nightlife. And what did he do at night? Well, what do most people do at night? Right? No, not the rich glitterati. What do the glitterati do at night? They party, correct. What did David HaMelech do at night? He was perfectly capable of living the nightlife. Okay, what do our princes do nowadays in the nightlife? In the news?
Vegas.
Sorry, where are our Brits when we need them to mock them? You're not a Brit, right? You're a Brit? Sorry, I doubted you. How's your prince doing?
Very proud.
Living the good life. Okay, so David HaMelech said...
For himself.
What?
Not even paying for himself.
Anyway. Okay. So David HaMelech, Tamir aya kam bechatzot ha'layla la'ayin b'torah. So what did he do, got up in the middle of the night? Not to party, to study. Ol ha'le l'shavech l'adon ha'kol, to say Tehillim, to write Tehillim. V'haya mo'es aravut ha'sheina v'ta'anuk ha'layla. The beauty of sleep, he rejected his beauty sleep, and the pleasures of night. He didn't sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning. Remember, 9 o'clock in the morning is not, nowadays, it's like, okay, it's up till 9 o'clock in the morning. Then everyone got up at sunrise. So to sleep at 9 o'clock in the morning. What? Right. So to sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning, to sleep till Shalosh Sha'ot, is the height of decadence. What that says is that you don't have to work. Because if you had to work, you'd be up before dawn in order to be at the field at dawn. So you'd have every waking hour. Okay? I'm in the second line on page 27. Okay. Yeah. Acher, and the other opinion says so there. Ki im hayosha amet ito shizoti tchuna shleima. You're right. That's very good. You know, it's very nice to use the nights properly. Adan yesh tchuna shleima lemala mimenu v'hu hamoes ahavat hakavod. And that is the person who rejects the love of the need for honor. Right? What do kings really want? They want honor. They want people to give them kavod. Okay, and that's what he says. He says that David didn't want kavod because why did he do this? Okay, skip. I'm going to skip. To the top of the next page. To page, skip a couple of V'David ma'at hakavod v'inyan ze avodato yitparach. Why? L'harim michsho mikerav amo. He didn't care about kavod. Why? And what did he do? He cared about removing a michshol. Hu atzma yoshev v'dan eila danim im yotam derech mi'us. Mistad ha'itz teninut. It's disgusting. He got dirty. The blood. She's bringing her tara. She's bringing her bedikah cloth. Really, ugh. Ra'oi shikvei chasid ba'avoze. He should be called a chasid because of this thing. So in either case, we see the principle, the idea. One terrible thing does not a chasid, does not a terrible person make, but rather a person, David says, should be judged on his normal, actual behavior, the thing that defines him, the way he normally acts, the way he purports himself throughout most of his life. Okay, that doesn't mean he's in it. Now,
the person requires that this prophet teshuva.
What's that? He does proper tshuva. He has proper rebuke. He has proper, sorry, remorse, and he does proper tshuva. So then the question becomes: so what about the end? So now, if he was a tzaddik, he's a chassid. Good, he's fine. He was a chassid. My worst action doesn't define me. It's not who I am. I made a mistake. I did tshuva. That's not who I am. So what's he worried about? Shema yigro machet. What's he even worried about? Is it a good thing to worry or not? True story. I sold my house, right? The house that your mother didn't buy. And so the guy who went in the house, he calls me this week. He says, listen, I just want you to know, as soon as I got into the house, I took down the mezuzot and had them all checked. They were all puzzle. For 4 years. Really? They weren't my mezuzot.
You left them.
When I came to the house, my balabayit bought the mezuzot. So now, like, I started thinking to myself, was I responsible when I came into the house? He told me he bought new mezuzot. Should I have taken them down and checked them myself? I don't know. Should I? Like, did I do something wrong? There's certainly an element of tshuva, because I didn't have kosher mezuzot. Did I do something wrong for the past 4 years? Like, that I didn't have mezuzot in my house? Let's take it one step further. It's a person, like, when's the last time you checked your mezuzot? Recently. What?
Then
you bought them new?
Then we've been here 2 years.
Ah. Do you know the guy you bought them from?
Yeah.
Maybe you should check them. You know they're good? Maybe you can't trust that guy.
There's a period of time you have to check them.
But how do you know you can trust him? Did you have them double checked by another expert? No, you did not. You said, I trust the guy, right? I trusted the guy too! And I was wrong!
I'm doing that with my tefillin now.
Do you understand my point?
My tefillin are puzzle now.
Are they?
They're faded. So we're getting new ones, and I'm getting someone to check the new ones.
After you got them.
Yeah. Wow. But that's because we've got a story.
I had that.
Our tefillin. So we bought, the whole family bought tefillin in Tel Aviv, near the Great Synagogue.
From some bookstore.
And when we checked them, bazooka wrappers, newspapers,
no,
photocopies, yeah. 3 sets of tefillin, finished. So,
am I supposed to worry? No, problem is, what?
The story's like that.
So I'm going to ask a
the problem then is, it can become overwhelming. It can become, you know, is that a way a person's supposed to be? Like, it's never good enough? I don't know. Maybe it's not good enough. Maybe it's not kosher.
Moshe Rabbeinu is sin. Or sin.
Yeah.
Okay, he hits the rock instead of talking to the rock.
Oops.
Perfect life. Finally does something wrong. And Hashem says, you're not going to get it.
Right.
So Moshe says, he doesn't say what David says. He doesn't say, I'm a great tzaddik, and I'm worried that you won't let me into Olam Haba. Punish me, I did tshuva, I'm sorry. He doesn't say that at all.
Well, he did. He did get it. He wasn't worried about Olam Haba.
No, he wasn't.
What was he worried about?
He was worried about the punishment.
I know. He said, I want to get into Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, he was worried about the punishment.
That's right.
David's not worried about the punishment. It's a completely different reaction.
Correct.
Why?
What's he worried about?
He's worried.
Well, let me ask you this. What's his worry? When the Gemara says, well, why is David worried? The Leah Monty. What's the Gemara say? Shema? What do you say in the end? The Gemara says, where am I? Page 28. the bottom, it says, the very simple, Shema Yigrom HaChet. What does that mean, Shema Yigrom HaChet? Meaning, yes, you're a chassid, but Shema, lest, ulai, maybe, negative, lest, well, chet, which chet? Which sin? Will cause. Sin will cause. What does it mean?
To sin again, to do more sin.
Ah, and that will cause what?
To lose it all.
To lose it all. Meaning, what's he afraid of?
That it will lead to something.
He's not afraid, maybe the sins that I've done are going to cause me to lose it all, because he knows what he's done. He knows he could do tshuva for those. What's he afraid of? He's afraid of the future sin. Shema Yigrom HaChet.
The description, it was always drunk. It was a one-off, and it won't happen again.
Great. So then he's a chassid. That's why he knows he's a chassid. So then how can he be Luleh Hamati Liro Petuv Hashem Baratz Chaim? And the answer is, the Gemara says, because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. Today you're a chassid. Tomorrow, who knows?
Sure?
Even David HaMelech.
Is it not possible that David HaMelech
no?
There was going to be another Galut? He was bothered. At any point, something that he did would tip the balance.
That's my question. Yeah, of course. He's worried about.
Not for him, for everything.
You don't think so? But if he's worried about him, he's worried about everybody else too. Shema Yigrom HaChet. Is that a way to live life? Is that how we're supposed to live our lives? Always worried that that tomorrow I could make such a terrible mistake and lose my entire Olam Haba. Is that the way we're supposed to live our lives? Kavel Hashem. Chazak,
Chazak
v'yamitzi becha. Well, it's interesting. What does the word kavei mean? Kavei al Hashem. You translate the word, usually the word hope. But it's not hope.
Sense.
No.
I can hope to Hashem.
Right, you don't hope to God. Okay? Havei, tikva. How does he translate it? Let's see. Yeah.
It means to be hopeful, maybe.
Let's see what the scroll says. Hope to Hashem. Really?
Yeah.
Hope to Hashem. I hope. But anyway, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean hope. Okay. The answer is, what's the answer? Am I supposed to live my life worried about the next thing that I'm going to do? What's the answer? Anybody want to guess what the Orchot Tzadikim is going to say?
Yes,
he says, absolutely. You absolutely should be worried. Okay? Let's read. And there are two types of worries. Look on page 26. This is Shar Hada'aga. Okay? Worry. If I were to ask you, let's before we read this, what is worry? What is the midah of worry? Da'aga.
Da'aga.
In what do we normally worry about?
What could be?
What's going to be?
I will affect me.
What are we worried about mostly? And if we're honest,
well, ourselves,
health, ourselves, Parnassa. Yeah, right. I'll say it. You know what I'm saying? What's that?
Used to things changing.
Comfort. I got the parnasa. I don't know. Send my son to a different school. They sent the bill. Like you know, it's just coming in all directions. Like, where is it going to come from? You know what I'm saying?
You need to get a tree.
What?
You need to get a tree.
Lemon tree.
The lemon tree.
The tree
in the garden. I see. Okay. Is that what you did? How's that working for you?
The garden, yeah.
Not well. Okay. So says the Orchot Tzadikim, he says, Hada'aga, Zot Hamidahi Ra'a Berov Inyana. It's terrible. V'hinikaret al kol panim. Okay, Kedichtiv, it's recognized in every face. Kedichtiv, Vayar otam v'hinam zo'afim. And they were za'af. They were anguished. That's Yossi Sar's brothers. Uktiv, Madua panecha ra'im. V'ata incha chole. Why is your face so bad? When a person is worried, you see it on their face. V'amar echad mi'chachamim, eni motza klal ba'anchei nefeshot ha'yonot siman da'aga. Those exalted souls, I never see them worried. It's very interesting. Like, you can anguish and worry, by the way, is almost always much worse than the actual thing. Right? We suffer, we cause suffering to ourselves by our worry about the future, anxiety about the future. He says it's terrible. Why is it terrible? Hada'aga ha-meguna, the bad worry. Hado'eg ala olam zeh, la-hasig me'uma. If you're worried about, you're going at some kind of achievement in this world, hu meguna ma'o, that's very negative. He lo nimtzei klal ba'anashim habotchim b'shem u'ma'aminim bo. Why? Because what's our worry? Am I going to be parnasa? But if you really realized, this is the struggle, if you really believed that your parnasa is from the Ribono Shel Olam, then you wouldn't worry, because it's not up to you. You do your ishtadlut, you do your best, and he'll suffice. He'll give you. So you want to worry if you're not doing your best? That's not worry. That's not worry. Because worry is about what will the future bring. Right, you want to be encouraged, you want to say, I have to work harder, great. But that's not worry, those are very different things. Okay? Hada'aga v'ha'yagon hem machlim alev, hem chole haguf. They are the sickness of the body. Hada'aga ra'az v'chol adego, the worst thing is, hu shiyirdov achar ha'evirot, that a person who wants to sin, chases after sin, u'be'et shelo yimtzako chavei tzivon, if he can't sin in every possible way, as hu do'egu mitzta'er. Oh, I missed that movie. Okay. A person should fix this midah. And it's really true. How do you fix da'aga about parnasa? Work on your bitachon. You gotta work on your bitachon. Ve'ein tzarich la'arich bera'at Adon. He says, I don't have to explain this. Ki kol ha'torot avot mi'simcha hen hipucha da'aga. All of the benefits that come from joy are the opposite of worry. He says, but there's good worry. Da'aga l'shem shamayim. V'atayit bonein. He says, but understand. Gam yesh da'aga bedrachim tovot. There's good worry. K'mo she'anar navi, the navi says, ma yino'it onen adam chai geber al chata'o. Person should anguish about his sins. Ha'chotei tarich lahagdil yagon bilavavo. He has to have anguish in his heart. Ulit anech and sigh b'merut halev. Al shem merad neged yotzer hakol. He was in the negativity. Chatzidikim is on the negative side. V'im hifsid dinar, if you lose a dinar, you lose 100 bucks, kasheh b'enei adam. V'im avad oshro v'yatza nakim in chasav, halo nashav alav titabel. He mourns if he loses all his money. V'chein alat tzarot, if you have troubles, ke'evo netzach v'yagon b'levavo. V'yoter ro'oi lishitzer, but it's more worthwhile you should be upset. V'ye'enach al shehimra neged Hashem mitbarach. You should be upset that you rebelled against Hashem. V'lo zachar chasidav v'tovotav alav. And you don't remember the goodness that he did. V'da, and no, ki madrigat ha-tshuva, akol lefi etzem hayagon. You know, you want to know how great your tshuva is? How upset are you really? Meaning, like, so I heard about the mezuzah thing. So my first reaction was, well, it's not my fault. You know, like, am I halachically on the hook for the fact that I, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Well, really, I really, you know, if you ask a rabbi, a shaila, what's he going to tell you? Is it your worth? Like somebody, let's say, somebody gives you mezuzah and he tells you the kosher mezuzah. Are you really, do you have to halachically doubt him? No, you don't. You have every right to be so mech on him. So, I gave you mezuzah, religious person, you know what I'm saying? It's not my problem. And what am I really supposed to feel? I didn't have a mezuzah for 4 years. It is quite upsetting, actually. But it should be more upsetting. It should be really upsetting. He says, the more upset you are, the greater your level of tshuva. Why? Ki hayagon, the anxiety, the sadness, ba me'ei tohar halev. It comes from purity of the heart. Haneshama elyona. Your upper neshama, whatever that means. If you're worried about it, God accepts that worry. Right? If his those who came close to him, those who are close to him, angered him, they're the exalted, the honored people. He cares more about the people that are close to him. So if you're close to God and you upset him, you should be worried about that. You should be upset. Let's skip a little bit, skip down. Do, 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 do. And we'll go on more. Hadma'ot ba'u min hayagon v'adaga. Tears come from anguish and worry. Hinei sha'arei d'ma'ot lo ninalu. We know that the gates of tears are never locked. As it is written, palgei mayim yardu einai. My eyes flowed with water. Alo shamu Torahtecha, because they didn't keep your Torah. Uktiv ki avoneni agid, I'll tell my sins. Edag michatati, I will worry about my sins. Ulaolam, and forever a person yikach yagon bilvavo masha'avar, he should be upset. V'yidag al aati, he'd be upset about the past and worry about the future. V'yirat amit shema lo hishtim chok tshuva, maybe perhaps you won't be fulfilling tshuva. Uktiv, and it says, Ashrei adam mefachei tamid, fortunate is he who is always afraid. Afilim haya achshav zakai v'tzadik amur. Even if you're a tzadik today, yira leolam shema yavo chet leyado. Maybe you'll sin. V'chein matzino b'Yaakov. And we also saw this from Yaakov. Af apish amar lo akadosh baruch hu ushmartir b'chol v'ter telech. This should sound familiar because we just did it in the Gemara. Even though God said, I'll take care of you, haya yarei shema yigra machet. V'chein amar David, so says David, Lulei ha'emanti li'ot betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Right? Word where I would be to God. Af apish haya yodeshu chasid gamor. Even though he knew he was a chasid. Shema yigrom hachet shelo yavo din'om ha'tzadikim. So the orchet that we're going to come full circle, the orchet ha'tzadikim felt. Should a person worry? Absolutely you should worry. Why? Because if you don't worry, then you might slip up. So it comes full circle. Are you a tzaddik? Yes. That should propel you to greater heights. But at the same time, you should always worry and be afraid that you could fall at any moment. Because if you don't worry, then you will. But if you do worry, and you're anguished, and you're concerned, and you're aware, and you're vigilant, you know, then you have a chance of preventing it from happening.
So we're doing Iran the right way.
What's that?
We're doing Iran the right way.
No. Vis-a-vis, I think that it's interesting you bring that up. I brought it up at the beginning actually also. It's not our role to worry about Iran. What's Iran going to do? Right? There are people whose job that is. It's not our job.
My mother's.
What?
My mother's job.
That's your mother's job. Mm-hmm. Our job, is to pray. Is to do our best and to merit the zchut that we should be protected.
But we're not doing
that. We're not?
No, nothing specific.
You don't pray for the safety of the Jewish people?
Of course you pray for
the okay.
safety. You pray on a regular basis.
But provided Yosef said pray. He said when you have your tamarim, she tamus on
when the rain doesn't come, we've got special prayers for rain. When war is imminent, or when we're in particular.
It's incumbent upon us to improve ourselves, to act in ways that are 100%.
Community to do.
Right, but that doesn't mean, so that's saying that on the one hand, don't worry about the future. But on the other hand, be concerned to the degree that what you can do, you must do. Because worrying about what's going to be isn't going to get you anywhere.
So why aren't we doing something?
What?
Why aren't we doing something?
Okay, we're not. What do you want to do?
Communal prayer. Something.
Communal prayer? Fine. Arrange. I engage in communal prayer today? Twice. Three times.
I'll ask a rabbi.
Three times.
I'll ask a rabbi.
What kind of communal prayer would you like?
We get together.
When we do.
No, seriously.
I'm
doubting. Yeah. I have a rabbi in mind. I can't say that I'm necessarily good about that.
It's not about individuals.
What?
Individuals we're supposed to do on a daily basis as much as we can.
No.
As a community, when something like this is on upon us,
one would not be incorrect. You would not be incorrect to suggest that given the factors that we face now, there is room to say, as a community, we should do something more.
So I'll say it to a rabbi. Rabbi, as a community, do you think...
First we have to establish a community. And then we could do something together. So, next time you say Lu David, we say Lulei Hashem, Lulei Manti, Lulei Manti, Lulei Meretz Chaim.
I'm very happy.
Now you know what
you're going to start the shiur next week.
Okay, we'll start.